SA's Primary Industries Minister has rejected a request from Hills Fluorio Councils to remain GM-free following a six-month community consultation. 11 councils have applied with David Basham to continue the ban on genetically modified crops in the region. The Minister joins me now to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning, Jenny.
The Greens aren't happy about this. Mark Parnell says the process has been a waste of time. I mean, he does have a bit of a point. It was put out to the community to consult with councils and make a call on what they wanted to do. So why has the state government decided to ditch the ban on GM?
The reason is that under the Act, it was very clear and it was made very clear to the councils what they needed to go and consult on was trade and market benefits in their particular regions. We couldn't assess under the Act anything else to allow GM freedom to continue in those councils. It was just on that very specific space that they could actually go and do this work. And unfortunately, none of the councils did enough work in that space that was able to show there was a benefit in the trade and market for GM freedom to continue in their councils. That doesn't mean individual businesses can't remain GM free. That's happened right around Australia, but there was nothing showing there was any benefit to the councils. The only council that's been able to show that in any of the work that's been done over the past years is the Kangaroo Island Council, and that's why Kangaroo Island itself sits where it does in the Act, remaining GM-free.
And why is that? Is it because it's separate from mainland SA?
They've actually purposely marketed themselves in that space. They've done that and very much as a something they've developed over the last 16 years as GM has taken hold in Australia. South Australia was the last mainland state not to allow GM to be grown. So we've just seen that change over time. But Kangaroo Island itself, being a island, very much easier to show that they are excluding it and marketing it, and they do have a small market benefit.
But, I mean, the Hills Fluorio, I think many of them thought, oh, this is a good opportunity because if we all band together, then it could also be a GM-free zone. You don't see it that way?
The issue is it's under the Act. It's very much about where we're at now. It's not where we might like to be in the future if we do something. It's very much where we are now. And so, as I said, Kangaroo Island had been doing this and had progressed to this point over the last 16 years. But in this group of 11 councils, there hadn't been no move by those councils to market themselves as a particular region or a group of councils or the councils themselves. So there was no evidence that was presented that met the thresholds to continue GM freedom.
Minister David Basham, there's a lot of confusion in the community. GM is very much, a lot of people are quite scared of this concept of GM. Are you concerned about this? Do you think there's a need for more education in the community about the understanding of what GM is and how it can actually empower farmers to grow in under better conditions and things like that?
I think there is a lot of misinformation out there in relation to GM. There's been, you know, scare campaigns run around the world for many years in this space. GM's been a process that's been going on for many, many decades now. It basically started in North America, Canada, and we've seen it progress around the world. And here in Australia, you know, as I said, 16 years, we've been looking at this in South Australia, and you know, we've finally got the ability for our grain growers in particular and now access GM products. There are other GM products around the world that currently we don't have access to here in Australia, but as the federal regulators look at those, they may become available as well, which just enables us to produce food in a more competitive way, also makes us able to do things more environmentally as well. We don't need to use as many sprays, etc., to manage those crops. There are many advantages in the use of GM products.
So do councils have any opportunity now to apply to remain GM-free, or is that it?
That is it. Yeah. The process was very much outlined in the Act. I had to follow that act, and they were the only things I could consider were those trade and market benefits. I couldn't consider anything else because that's what the act, that's what Parliament had passed and had directed me to do as Minister.
And what about, you know, there are a few examples in America of farmers having seeds blow over into their crops and then that farmer maybe being sued by a major corporation that holds the patent to that seed. Is that a concern, and is there any recourse for someone in that sort of situation?
I mean, I think these are things that, you know, have been stories that we hear about GM that are used to scare people. I don't think that this is something that we're going to see a significant change in the world in South Australia. GM's been grown in our neighbouring states for many years now. It's grown there happily. There are side-by-side businesses that operate in this space, so I don't see those concerns.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Minister. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Greens MLC Mark Parnell is calling for the state government to reconsider the decision. He joins me now. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, g'day, Jenny.
Tell us about your concerns with Minister Basham's move on this.
Well, as people might remember, for the last couple of decades, South Australia has been GM-free. In other words, it has not been allowed for GM genetically modified crops to be grown in this state. The Parliament passed a law earlier this year which was part of a deal struck between the Liberal and Labor parties. So Labor said that they would lift their long-standing opposition to GM crops, but only if local councils were given the opportunity to consult their communities and make a case as to why they should be able to stay GM-free, even if the rest of the state allows GM crops. So 11 councils, mainly around Adelaide, Fleurieu, up to the Barossa, and I think even in the Riverland, but 11 councils basically consulted their communities, in particular their food growers, and they put in a claim to Mr. Basham, the minister, saying, we believe that there is good evidence that it's in our economic best interests to not have GM crops in our areas. Now, having gone to all that trouble, the consultation, and there were various consultants employed, and putting the economic case together, to then see the minister has dismissed out of hand every one of those applications, I think is a hoax, a cruel hoax on those people, because my gut feeling is the government never intended to let any of these councils retain their GM-free status. And so what we have now is a situation where in the future, any GM crop that's approved in Canberra will automatically be able to be grown anywhere in South Australia except Kangaroo Island. Now, most people don't realise that. They're thinking, well, GM is just about canola because that's the only GM crop currently being grown. But the law that was passed wasn't about canola. It was about every future GM crop that might be developed. There will no longer be any ability for the state to regulate it, and certainly no ability for local councils to say, we don't want that in our area.
Although farmers will have the choice.
Oh, sure. That's right. But I guess part of the problem with the whole GM debate is that one person's choice impacts on another person's choice. Now, what I mean by that is it is physically impossible to contain any crop within the paddock, if you like. And grains in particular are notorious. They spread. Birds, wind, rain, they can spread several kilometres. And people who don't want GM can end up having genetically modified crops contaminating their own crops. And that can result, in a worst-case scenario, in them, for example, losing an organic certification. They can lose serious money if they're contaminated with GM crops. So that's the fear, that one person exercising their choice impacts on everyone else's choice that doesn't want GM crops.
Mark Parnell, what's so wrong with GM technology?
Well, the GM debate has sort of fallen into a lot of different categories. There are, you know, some people who are worried about the, I guess, the globalisation and the ownership of different forms of plant life, you know, the patenting of plants, the fact that GM canola relies exclusively on a proprietary chemical, glyphosate, which is increasingly being banned in some countries because it's known to cause cancer. So there's a lot of those sorts of issues. But I've confined my debate to the legal requirement, which is that we look at the economics. And the economics are, in my view, all the evidence that I've seen, is that the future both in Australia and overseas, of food is people want clean, green and natural. And there is no one out there who is saying, I particularly want GM. You know, I love the taste of GM. No one says that. People do say they want organic, they want biodynamic, they want clean and green and natural, and they will pay more for it.
But couldn't you say that's kind of a greenwashing perspective? Like it's the perception of clean and green, whereas GM technology opens up a whole lot of opportunities for farmers to grow more food for a growing population. And there's no science to suggest that GM is inherently bad in any way.
No, well, you're right, Jenny, that perception is really important. I mean, it's why two, you know, apparently identical looking products on the shelves, one will be twice the price because, you know, the buyer has a perception that this other one is better. But the problem that we've got with the GM crops is that the hype around the benefits is huge. I mean, just in your question then, you know, increased yields? No, there are no increased yields. Is it more drought tolerant? No, it's not more drought tolerant. The only quality of the only crop that's currently allowed in South Australia is that it tolerates herbicides. It's all to do with farmers and their spraying regimes. It doesn't produce more seed. It doesn't make more money. In fact, when you take your GM grain to the silo, you'll be paid less than the conventional farmer because the market really doesn't particularly want it. They'll still pay you for it, but you'll probably get paid $30 or $40 or $50 a tonne less than you will for conventional canola because it's harder for them to sell. So this is about choices that farmers will make, but it's about growing system choices. It's not about a miracle product that's going to feed the world. That's not been shown anywhere.
So, Mark Parnell, it sounds as though the minister is unflinching on his decision. He does... the Act indicates it is up to him after councils have consulted with the community on the trade and market benefits, his call. So what can we do now? Is there anything further that you're going to be doing on this to try to persuade him the other way?
Well, I mean, the options are quite limited because, as I said, the deal that was stitched between the Liberal and Labor parties was that councils could ask, but the final decision was with the minister. I'm very keen to see the paperwork. I'm very keen to see the advice that the minister got. I think the Premier might want to have a good look at this as well because there are going to be some very angry people in these 11 councils who in good faith put together a case, a request to stay GM-free and to have that thrown back in their face. So I don't know whether there's any legal options. I mean, I'm sure people are looking at it now. But I think it's a sad day. It's a disappointing day. And I really hope that we don't have some future GM disaster where we rue the day that we ever went down this path. I hope that doesn't come. But I'm disappointed that local democracy has been thwarted by the minister simply crossing his arms and saying no.
Well, I appreciate your time today, Mark Parnell. Thanks for joining me.
My pleasure, Jenny. Thank you.